Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
And today I want to speak to you this Easter Sunday. I want to speak to you on the topic endless love. Oh, God's endless love. You know, a young man and his fiance broke off the relationship just before they got married. She broke off the engagement. And a few months later, he received a letter from her, and it said, "Dearest Jimmy, no words can express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. She says, please say you'll take me back. I love you, I love you, I love you. No one can ever take the place that you have had in my heart. I hope you'll take me back. I love you so much. Yours forever, Marie." And then she put at the bottom, there was a postscript she had. "Congratulations on winning the Powerball lottery." She really didn't love poor Jimmy. She was just playing a game on poor Jimmy. You know, a lot of people play that game. They pretend to love. No wonder there's a song that then after they break your heart, they say, "I'm sorry." There's a song, "Sorry is one of the hardest words." But I want you to know, my friend, this morning, when God says he loves you, he's not playing a game. God loves you. And listen, the Easter weekend is a clear demonstration how much God loves you, because on Good Friday, Jesus died on the cross for your sin. It was his expression of love. And on Easter, hallelujah, he rose again from the dead. In 1981, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie, some of you remember, they came out with a blockbuster song, and it has the same title, "Endless Love." Oh, I wish you were here this morning. I could have asked you how many of you know the song, but I'm sure almost everybody knows that song. It is such a sweet song, "Endless Love." Beautiful, beautiful harmony on that song. But you know, it's a great song, but the words are inaccurate. For you can only experience, you can only experience endless love if you're experienced God's love. This Easter weekend, what an incredible opportunity God is giving us. Listen, this Resurrection Sunday, what an incredible opportunity God is giving all of us. And this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because he wants you to come and taste and experience this endless love and to start your great love story with Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, it was read for us, and in verse 39, after Jesus was crucified, a man by the name of Nicodemus came, the Bible says, with 100 pounds of spices to wrap the body of Jesus. 100 pounds. Now, those of you who go to the grocery, you know that a 5-pound bag of sugar is quite a good size bag. 100 pounds of spices. This is very significant, because in those days an ordinary person would be wrapped with 5 pounds of spices. Even royalty would only be wrapped with 75 pounds of spices. But Nicodemus came with 100 pounds of spices to wrap the body of Jesus. Something had clearly happened to Nicodemus. For when we first met Nicodemus, the first time the Bible introduces us to Nicodemus was in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And this passage here in John's Gospel, chapter 9, it is so significant that he came by night, that here in John's Gospel, chapter 19, the writer tells us again, this is the same Nicodemus who came by night. The first time he came by night, but now Nicodemus has come. He has come in broad daylight, and he's brought enough spices to make everyone know that as far as he was concerned, Jesus was greater than any of earth's royalty. Something dramatic had happened in Nicodemus's life. I believe that Nicodemus had now become a disciple of Jesus. He had started to taste this endless love. Nicodemus, as we read in John's Gospel chapter 3, was rich. And as a member of the Sanhedrin, he was one of Israel's top leaders. But you know, despite his wealth and despite his importance, when he first met Jesus, he was very empty, for he had never experienced God's love. And despite being very religious, for crying out loud, he was one of the top religious leaders in Israel, he was not sure if he'd make it to heaven. Let me ask you, are you sure you'll make it to heaven? You know, I meet people all the time, and if I ask them, are you sure you'll make it to heaven? They immediately start telling me about what church they have joined. They immediately start telling me they were baptized. They tell me the role they're playing in their church. I'm not asking you if you're religious. Nicodemus was very religious, but Nicodemus did not have eternal life. Nicodemus was not sure he would make it to heaven. And to be frank with you, Nicodemus, at the time he met Jesus, as though he was a religious ruler, he was not on the way to heaven. He had never experienced God's love. Are you sure you have experienced God's love? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? What an amazing thing it would be if today you would make sure that you have your name written in God's book of life. I want to focus this morning, though, as we share this Easter about God's endless love, I want us to focus on one verse, and it's a verse that Jesus shared with Nicodemus. I believe this could very well be the verse that transformed Nicodemus's life. This could very well be the verse that when we get to John's Gospel chapter 19, Nicodemus is no more coming by night. Nicodemus is making himself a public disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a verse that's regarded as the most well-known verse in the entire Bible. It's John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a powerful verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me share with you three things about God's endless love as we look just at this verse this morning. One, first of all, I want you to look, if you're taking notes, you write this down. Note the source of this love. The source of this love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Listen, God is the initiator. He is the source of this love. Many people have a picture of God, the wrong picture of God. Sometimes we picture God as a stern, angry God, a God who is a heavenly killjoy, a God whose only desire is to stop us from enjoying our lives on earth. My friend, if that's your view of God, it's a totally wrong view, because God loves. He's a God of love. He loves you. This is why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you. And Jesus Christ, while he was here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, he told a story that illustrates God's love. It's the story that we sometimes call the story of the prodigal son. It's a story of a father that had two sons. And in this story, we get to understand a little bit of the love of God. This father had two sons. And one of the sons, the younger son, he said, Daddy, I know one day I'm going to get an inheritance. But Daddy, normally I'd have to wait till you die. And Dad, I don't want to wait till you die. I want my inheritance now. It's almost like the boy saying, Dad, I wish you were dead right now. I need the money right now. Well, the story says Dad gave him his share of the money, and he left immediately and went to Vegas. And of course, you may say Vegas wasn't around then. Well, he may as well have gone to Vegas, because the Bible says he took his inheritance and he went to a far country. where he spent his money, the Bible says, in riotous living. We don't know exactly what he did, but later on, the brother, his elder brother, came and claimed that he was living and he was spending time with prostitutes, and that he, we don't know what he did. Suffice it to say, he spent all the money, he blew the money, and when he was broke, the Bible says he started being in want. He was totally, everything was, he was in bad shape. And the Bible says the only job he could get was the job to feed pigs. Wow, just imagine how low he had come. Listen, a Jew's not supposed to eat pork much. He's not supposed to have anything to do with pigs. He's not to raise pigs. But here, this Jewish boy, he's feeding the pigs. His only opportunity, he had fallen as low as you can get as a Jewish kid. Perhaps I'm speaking to you this morning and life has not gone well for you. Perhaps you ran away from God. Perhaps you decided God was not for you. You wanted to do your own thing. You wanted to live your life. You wanted to have fun. And perhaps right now I'm speaking to you and the truth is your life is a shambles. Perhaps drugs has wasted your life. Perhaps this riotous living, your way of life has caused you to hit bottom. My friend, listen, if that's you, I want you to know you're right in this story. And the God who saved the father was so loving to this boy who had run away. I want you to know God, this God in heaven, he loves you no matter how wretched and how messed up you are this morning. Well, this boy eventually, the Bible says he came to himself. And that's part of the problem. Sometimes we don't want to come to ourselves. This boy came to himself and he started thinking, for crying out loud, even the lowest servant in my father's house has more than enough to eat. And here I am, I'm dying for hunger. He says, I'm going to go back to my father's home. I'm going to go to daddy's home. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Listen, make me one of your servants. Make me one of your hired servants. In other words, make me the lowest level. He doesn't feel he's worthy to become a son anymore. Make me the lowest servant in your household. He practices a little speech. Then he finally went home. He was all ready. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. But you know, the Bible says from when he was a far way off, his father saw him. And his father did something an adult man in that generation did not do. The father ran to meet him. The father ran and met him and hugged him. The little boy, the young man, he started giving his little speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And before he could say, I'm no more worthy to be called your son, the father cut him off. My friend, God is not looking to make you a servant. God is looking to make you a son. Listen, he wants to enter into a love relationship with you. Amen. He wants you to be a child of God. He wants to make you, no matter how you're messed up, he wants to make you an heir of God. The Bible says, and joint heir with Jesus Christ. He wants to make you a part of the royal aristocracy of heaven, no matter how you've messed up. This boy, he comes to his father, and when dad grabs him, dad hugs him, dad takes his robe and he puts his robe on him, and hallelujah, God wants to clothe us with his righteousness, no matter how messed up we are. The father took his robe and he put it on him, and he put his ring on his finger, and then he's told the servants, listen, let's kill the fatted calf and have a party because my son who was dead is alive. He was lost and he is found. I want to tell you, my friend, you might not realize it, but there's going to be a big party in heaven tonight. If tonight you would say yes to Jesus, if this morning you would open your heart and you would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Heaven will break out in a big party because, listen, a child of God, listen, one of God's creatures who was lost has finally come home. Perhaps this morning you were used to walk with Jesus, but you have strayed. My friend, this is the morning to come back home. It's time to come back and reconnect. It's time to say to God, God, I've wandered far away from you, but now I'm coming home. My friend, God is the source of this endless love. And no matter who you are this morning, you can come to experience this love. I am so glad that Jesus loves me, that Jesus loves even me, and he loves you as well. The source of the love. But secondly, the scope of this love. The scripture says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Oh, don't miss this word, whosoever. And if you're taking notes, not only have you have the scope of this love, but put, this love is available to everyone. This love is available to everyone. The word whosoever, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, whosoever believes, Nicodemus must have been blown away, because Nicodemus was a Jewish man and he was raised to believe that, listen, only the Jews are going to find favor with God. Jewish men would pray in those days. They would pray a prayer that had a part like this. It would say, God, I thank you that I am a man, not a woman. I thank you that I am a Jew, not a Gentile. And he's thankful that he's not a slave. Listen, he didn't want to be a Gentile because they had a word for us back then. They regarded the Gentiles as dogs. As far as a Jew was concerned, there was absolutely no hope for a Gentile. But Jesus changes the whole understanding. He changes all the religiosity of the day. And Jesus said, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, hallelujah. This message is for whoever. This endless love is extended. The scope, it's for everyone. My friend, this morning, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. You know, the Apostle Paul, in our day, he would be regarded as a religious terrorist. Because before he got saved, all he was doing was going around killing Christians, getting opportunity to tie them up and lock them up. He was a terrorist, but Jesus saved him, and he became the great Apostle Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament. My. I'm so glad this gospel is for me, because I was only 9 years old. I was scared that I would go to hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. And I received Jesus Christ, and he saved me. And he lives in my heart. He has never left me. And I can assure you, he will never leave you either. This love is available to everyone. But secondly, as we talk about the scope of this love is not only for everyone. The love is everlasting. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he would have everlasting life, he meant just that. For God gives forever life. And not even the devil in hell can steal it, because in John's Gospel chapter 10 and about verse number 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Around verse 38, they shall never perish. He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Nobody can pluck us out of God's hand. Once we come to Jesus, our eternal life is secure. I can't even lose it, because Jesus is holding on to me. Amen. The security of my salvation is not based on my effort. It's based on the power of God. And he says he will keep me forever. It's good to know that we can have a forever life. But you know, sometimes you could live a long life, and sometimes the quality of the life is pretty lousy. You know, we thank God for life. But I'll never forget my daddy when he was in his early 60s. His memory started going. By the time he got to his late 60s, he didn't know any of us. He didn't know my mom. He didn't know anybody. And he was alive, but it wasn't a high quality life. And so some people say, well, I don't know if I want to live forever because I don't know what that's going to be like. But let me assure you, the life that we're going to live forever is a life of quality, because listen, God is actually going to give us a brand new body. Amen. He's going to give us a body. The Bible says it's a body that sickness cannot affect. It's a body that will never have pain. It's a body that the coronavirus will never affect, or any other virus for that matter. Hallelujah. It's a body like what Jesus had after his resurrection. It's the type of body Jesus had. The Bible calls the body we will get a spiritual body. It's not a spirit. Listen, it's actually a body, because we're going to need a body to enjoy all of what God has prepared for us. But hallelujah, we're going to live forever, and we're going to be with Jesus forever, and it's going to be bliss. But let me say this to you. Right now, the minute you trust Jesus as your Savior, that eternal life begins. The love story with Jesus begins the moment you trust Jesus. That moment, the endless love begins. And God comes, He comes by His Spirit, and He lives within you, and He helps you through all the drama of life. Right now, you may be so stressed out by the coronavirus. You may be stressed out because you're wondering about your financial situation. You may have lost a lot of money in your 401k, and you're stressed out to death. Listen, I want you to know that when you come to Jesus, He is there, and He's able to help you through all of life's struggles and trials. God is with us, and I'm so glad He can comfort us, and He can help us, and we can turn to Him. Right now, once we come to Jesus right here on earth, this endless love begins. But when we go to heaven, it gets to a new dimension. We will experience the crescendo of this endless love of God. Because right now, we can only see Jesus by faith. But can you imagine what is going to be, my brother and sister, when we see Jesus by sight, when faith gives place to sight, and we shall see Jesus Himself? It's good to know we're going to go to heaven, and we'll be able to talk with the Apostle Paul, and we'll be able to talk to Moses and Abraham and David and all the great patriarchs and all the great men of faith who have gone on before. But what an amazing thing it's going to be when we shall see Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.